1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read verses 13 through 18 to keep it all in context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul, as he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, he writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause just for a moment. Father, it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we come tonight. Lord, we want to acknowledge to You that all that You have given us in Jesus Christ is not because we deserve it, but it was by Your amazing grace. Thank You for Your love that You have for us, a love that will never let go of us, a love that never gives up, never gives in. Love of a second chance. The church at Thessalonica, they had a concern. They had some folks who believed in the Lord Jesus, and they were dying, and Lord, they were thought first that they were going to miss out on the second coming, the rapture of the church. But Paul, writing to them, encourages them and reminds them that that's not going to be so. Lord, I pray, even though we live here and now, and life is very busy for all of us, God, a lot of concerns focused here, I pray, Lord, that we would take time tonight to look ahead to the future, looking for that moment when Jesus is going to come again. And I believe in the rapture of the church, not the second coming, that's after the tribulation, but in the rapture of the church, I believe He's coming. And for that, we thank You in advance. But God, the question tonight is, we must be ready, that it would not catch us by surprise. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the difference that You alone make in a man and woman's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We started last week and we were talking about that Paul was writing to an issue that the folks were going through there at the church at Thessalonica. Some of them were fearful that their loved ones who had passed on, because we don't want to use the word died, because they really didn't die, and Paul's going to address that. He says they have gone asleep. He says they are asleep in the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 14. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Listen, look at 14 very carefully. Notice what he says about Jesus. He says Jesus died. He didn't go to sleep. There was an old rumor that ran around the first century that Jesus never really died, that he was unconscious. He never really died. And so his disciples came and they grabbed him and took him away from the garden tomb and paid off the soldiers. And by the way, that's called the snooze theory. Swoon. I knew it started with an S. I knew it had something to do with that. The swoon theory. But yet Paul comes, and listen to what he says. He says, verse 14, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." I'm sorry, verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," here's the key, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, the church was more than upset about this. They were much concerned about it because they thought this: if we're not alive when Jesus comes, they didn't know it was the rapture. They thought it might have been the second coming, but he had to help them with that theology. And he does the same thing with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. But he comes and he wants to help straighten this out. They thought if you're not alive when he comes, that you don't get to go. That's what they were thinking. So Paul comes, and that's what this whole verses 13 through 18 is all about. He comes, first of all, with the revelation. He starts in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. And then he comes down to verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. No other apostle was given this revelation but Paul. None of the other ones mention it. Now, Matthew, in Matthew 24 and 25, he talks about the second coming. John talks about the second coming in the book of the Revelation. But Paul is the only one who talks about this as being the rapture of the church when God is going to take us out. Let me help you with something. Go back to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Look in verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. This has to do literally with, and this is a good one, it has to be related, it's related to our salvation. It's talking about the rapture. Listen to what he says. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. When you see turn to God, that's a picture of their salvation. Not only turned to God, but they turned away from the idols to do what? To serve the living and true God. Now watch verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that's the resurrection, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. His return is related to our service. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul was talking about verse 18, how that they were hindered. He was hindered from coming back to them. But he's talking about, listen, you've got to understand one thing. When Jesus returns, we're all going to be together at his return. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. His return speaks to our stability, our stamina. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, if you look at verse 13, just for a moment. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. That's a work of God. No man can ever get his heart pure enough or holy enough that he could stand in the very presence of God. One of the things that people feared when Jesus comes back, and this was one of the things going with the early church. When Jesus comes back, you know, how are we going to be able to look upon him? How are we going to be able to be in his presence? Folks, those of us who know Christ as Savior, he has made us righteous. We have been justified when, listen, he died on the cross, paid our sin debt, and in the resurrection, this is over in Romans chapter 4, verses 25, he talks about how that we were justified in his resurrection. His resurrection was proof that what he told us when he died on the cross and paid our sin debt, this is important, that when he rose again from the grave, that God had accepted his finished work on the cross to pay our sin debt in full. So when Jesus defeated that last enemy called death, you and I, listen, we are justified. We have the righteous right because of his finished work to stand in the very presence of Almighty God. Look in chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. His return is related to our sorrow. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Now, folks, that was good news to those who had loved ones who had died. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the resurrection and how what is the message that we need to share with the short family. It's simply this, that when Jesus comes again in the rapture of the church, he's going to bring Miss Gail with him. Now, because she's asleep, what does that mean? Not talking about soul sleep. Her body is in the grave. That's what we're going to bury. But her spirit and soul, last Saturday, when she breathed her last breath, her spirit and soul went to be with the Lord. You say, where's that found? Well, the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that to be absent from the body is to be what? To be present with the Lord. Now, we quote those scriptures, but you have to understand that the impact, what's behind what it says there. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when Jesus comes back, he's bringing back what? Her spirit and soul. And we're going to read in a few moments in verse 15 how that those who have, you know, who are asleep in the Lord, their bodies are coming up out of the grave, and their spirit and soul and body are going to be reunited in the clouds. Now, Jesus is not coming back to the earth in the rapture. That's in the second coming. It's all in this text right here. But their spirit, soul, and body are going to be reunited, and it's going to be instantaneously glorified, just like that. Boom. Then he's going to talk about us who are alive when the Lord comes back. They say, "Now, Brother David, what would you like?" It doesn't matter. I know I'm going. It really doesn't. I made a statement to a guy the other day. He says, he asked me my age, and I said, "Well, I'm," and he said, "What?" I said, and he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "But here's my plan. I want to live long enough to be an aggravation to somebody." Thinking more of my grandsons than I am anybody else. But when you think about the rapture of the church, folks, when you think about that, there's not a sign that needs to happen. There's not an event that needs to take place. That just in a moment, this is 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we could be gone just like that. Gone just like that. Paul will use the word sleep. Because as believers, because we have everlasting life, listen, we do not die. We are more alive than ever. The fact of our Lord's return is to comfort us in bereavement because we know that he will bring with him those people who have died in the Lord. Notice the pronoun we in verses 14, 15, and 17. Paul puts himself right in this. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." Turn over to Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul had such a heavenly focus. And remember now, when he was writing the book of Philippians, he was in jail. He was in Rome in prison. It's one of his prison epistles. But Paul had such I could say a worldview. He has such a Bible view. He has such a view of heaven. Philippians 1, verse 20. He says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Now, he's writing this, and don't forget now that he is chained to a Roman soldier. Paul knows he may not finish this sentence because the executioner could come and open the door and Paul's life is over. He knew that. But yet listen to the words. Look in verse 21. "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." To die is better. Verse 22. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strict and strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul said, "I'd just soon go." But the Lord is, you know, right now it's his choice and decision for me to stay here. He said, in the flesh, he says, because I can be of help to you. But you love verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ." He says, "To die is gain." Folks, what an outlook. Paul is experiencing. You say, well, you know, maybe they're not feeding him correctly and he's having these, you know, illusions. No, not Paul. Paul has given us as part of his resume. He said, over in Philippians, he says, I've been exalted, and he says, and I've been abased. He said, I've been on top, I've been at the bottom. He said, doesn't matter to me wherever I am. He says, but this one thing I know. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a message, I think, that we say it and we may memorize it and we may know where it is in the scriptures. But here's the key. Are we plugging it in? Are we using it in our lives? It's one thing when the sun's shining and, you know, all the bills are paid and the doctor says you're going to be all right, you know, another 10,000 mile checkup, everything's all right. But it's a whole other deal when he says, you know what, we found a spot and we're not sure about it. Or, you know, your loved one may be, and you're thinking, good grief. Folks, when we talk about things like this, now we need to be, it's imperative that you be honest with yourself. We're human. For a fleeting moment, you may say, why God? Now, is that sinful? No. He reads your mind anyway. He reads your heart. The worst thing you do is be hypocritical with Him who knows you. But I think there needs to be an honesty too. Lord, I am fearful of this because I've never been this way before. But then don't forget that the Bible says the Lord Jesus has been through everything that you and I will ever be through, go through. And yet the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, yet without sin. He's experienced every infirmity. He knows what it means. He's felt it. He's tasted it. He's touched it. He understands. That's why it's so wonderful for us to embrace Him when things just don't make sense, when things don't add up, when you can become better instead of becoming bitter. And you see, that's a choice that you have to make in your own heart and mind. Paul is coming here back over in Thessalonians. He's coming here and he is challenging the Thessalonians, and not more than challenging them. He's trying to teach them of the great hope. And you know what? Here's the thing about Paul. When Paul would write a letter, that was one thing. And when you said, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul. But they knew the one who had written this just as well as when he was there in person. Listen, because of who he was and because of what he was, that was proof positive that what he was saying was real. Paul did not go around trying to make a name for himself. Paul did not go around trying to fleece people of their earnings. No, Paul was the real deal. And so he's writing to them. And look what he says in verse 15. He talks about the resurrection. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, watch this, shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, those who passed on, they're not going to miss out. That's what he's telling them. The Christian dead will arise. Now, why is it that these Thessalonians had that mind, that mindset? Well, the Greeks desired, listen, they wanted to get rid of their bodies. Why would any man want to have his body resurrected? And besides that, they had questions like, well, how will the body be resurrected? To them, the body is going to decay and would become part of the earth. This doctrine was foolish, and in their eyes, it was impossible. John chapter 5. Turn there with me, if you would. John chapter 5, verse 28. John 5, verse 28. Jesus is talking. Listen to what he says. John 5, 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there's two resurrections. But to show you the power of the Lord Jesus, he says, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. You know, we could fast forward and go to John chapter 11. And what was the name of that guy that he called forth after that Jesus had lunch with his sisters one day? Lazarus. Now, folks, you've got to put this, you got to keep this off. He didn't just say, come forth at that cemetery. He called him specifically by his name. Now, why did he do that? Because if he said, come forth, the whole place would emptied out. People say, oh, no. John 5:28 says that all the voices are going to hear him, and when he calls them, they're going to come forth. Those, the resurrection of good, of life, and the resurrection, those who've done evil, the resurrection of damnation. There's another verse I want you to look at too. Go, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 20. Again, this is John speaking. Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. The first four verses, it talks about the bottomless pit, and how Satan is going to be chained and bound up for 1,000 years down there, and he's going to be, he'll be down there, he'll be loosed for a little season. That's at the end of the 1,000 years, and he's going to try another revolution, but it's not going to work. But watch verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Look over at the end of chapter 20. Look in verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is the last judgment. This is the great white throne judgment. No place for them to hide behind. No earth, no heaven, nothing. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now see, go back to verse 12. Books were open, and then another book was open. The singular book was the book of life. But the dead are going to be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Imagine this, unbelievers. Everything that you've ever done is being written down, and that's what God's going to hold you accountable for one day. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Friend, you have somebody that tells you, you say, well, you know, when I die and I'm just going to go, you know, this is that old, good old boy, you know, theology. When I die, I'm just going to go to hell and that's the end of it. No, that's not the end of it. Death and hell are going to be delivered up where? At the great white throne judgment seat. And then you're going to be judged. I thought I was already judged. No, hell literally is a holding place until when? Until you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. Why? John 5 says that God has given him all authority and all judgment. And folks, listen, an unbeliever is going to have to look at the very one who died on the cross for them, shed his precious blood. They're going to have to look him in the face one day. Now watch verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So hell is not the end. The lake of fire is. And whosoever was not found written, verse 15, in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Quickly go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at the three unique sounds. And we're going to have to close tonight with this. Three unique sounds. First of all, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, this is a shout. It's a command. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let's talk about these three unique sounds. We've already talked about over in John chapter 5, verse 28, that Jesus is going to speak to those who are in the graves and they're going to hear his voice. John chapter 11, 43, it talks about that he commanded Lazarus to come forth. But this is important. This command does not mean that Jesus will put the elements of the body back together again. You see, because the resurrection is not reconstruction. It's not reconstruction. The second unique sound we have here is the sound of the trumpet. Jewish people were used to trumpet sounding. A certain blast would be used to declare war. Another would announce special times and seasons. And another would gather the people for journeys. But then it talks about the voice of the archangel. The angelic host will share in the victory when Jesus comes back again. You remember at his birth? You remember when the shepherds went out on the hillside? What did they see? They saw the angelic host. They were just singing, praise be to God. That was his first coming. Now, in the rapture, he's not coming back to the earth, but yet he's still going to be accompanied with the archangels. The doctrine of resurrection assures us that death is not the end. Folks, you've got to put this down now in your mind. The grave is not the end. The body merely goes to sleep, but the soul goes to be with the Lord. When the Lord returns, he'll bring the soul with him. He will raise the body in glory. He will unite the body and the soul and the spirit all together, and they will share his glory forever and ever. But what about those who are alive? Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's one little word I want you to see in verse 17. I'm going to use emphasis. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, who are the them? Those that he brings back with him. Those who have passed away. Those who are asleep in him. Those who have died in the Lord. Now, they're not dead. Why? They have everlasting life. But the Lord is going to bring them with him. And so we will meet up in the clouds together with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, folks, you have to just... This is one of those things where, as the psalmist would say, this is a Selah moment. You really need to just think about it. You've got to understand all the saints of God who've gone on before us, loved ones, grandparents, children. I mean, all of that, they're coming with the Lord and they're going to be in the clouds. And then they're going up first. Body's going to be reunited and glorified. And then those of us who are alive, we're going to be caught up. Now, how fast is that going to take? Corinthians, Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You've heard me say this. General Electric has measured the twinkling of an eye to 1/10,000th of a second. It's faster than a blink. Imagine, you blink and we're in the clouds. Gone. That's faster than that. Now, my pastor in Jackson would say, I don't know about you, that'll keep me up at night just thinking about it. I mean, just... One minute I'm here, and I'm gone. Now, I'm going to be silly for a moment. Imagine being at Sonny's, and you get that big plate of food out there. And you're sitting there. And old John Taylor says, let's ask the blessing. We bow our heads, and next time I look up, we're in heaven. And John's going to, we'll have a fight. He says, what'd you do with my Sonny? I said, oh, man, I didn't have to do that. I'm just kidding. Go, yeah, it's going to be good. Glorified ribs. Can you imagine? But I've read the Bible for 30 plus years, and I'm not convinced there's going to be vegetables there, so it's going to be... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, let's look at the reunion. The reunion is that we're going to be with the Lord forever. He says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall be caught up for something. We're going to leave behind guilt, shame, and sins. We'll receive our glorified bodies free from sin and shame. That's why Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden. We shall be caught up from something. What are we going to miss out on in the rapture of the church? The judgment of God, the wrath. 1 Thessalonians 9 and 10 talks about that. We shall be united with the saints. We will be with them. We shall be united with the Savior to meet the Lord in the air. If you notice this, he talks about how that we will be caught up alive and that we will be with them in the clouds. You know whose domain that is right now? That domain, the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air right now? Satan. And isn't it kind of humorous that the Lord's going to gather his church together? That one entity that Satan has been after for 2,000 years, and the Lord's going to gather them together on his grounds, if you please. And we're going to gather there, then he's going to take us back to heaven. I think the Lord's going to show us off just a little bit. That'll be fine with me. I don't care as long as I'm with him. Do you know what? There's some folks are going to miss out on this. They are. It's not the fact they don't believe in the rapture. It's the fact they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Savior. Verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Part of the comfort comes from the fact that if we're living our lives the way we ought to be living them, honoring Jesus, honoring God with our lives, lives that are sanctified, that means holy, lives that are steadfast, consistent, lives that are separated from the ways that we're different, servant-minded lives, that means we're available, then we'll find comfort. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore expresses results. Bottom line, death is a fact of life. We know that. Death is not an accident, it is an appointment. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The early church saluted each other with these words, "The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." When Jesus comes in the rapture, he's going to draw only one kind of person to himself. Not the rich, not the religious, not the respectable, or the self-righteous, or even church members, but those who have surrendered their lives to him, confessing their need for the Savior who's paid their sin debt in full. In a British cemetery, I got this from John Phillips, an inscription on a gravestone read like this: "Paul is my friend as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me." John Phillips said he heard about a visitor who read this epitaph and added these lines: "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." As Dr. Hudson used to say, are you going to be in the rapture or are you going to be in the rupture? It's your choice. In Jesus, you'll be in the rapture. You say no to him, there's not much left, is it? Let's pray. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we come tonight. Thank you for the glorious hope that the rapture of the church will be an automatic divine act of yours. You've told us to watch and pray. You've told us to be ready. Lord God, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters in Christ that we would be deliberate and determined that we're going to honor you with our lives, our conversation, our conduct. Lord, everything about us. Because when you come, it will be in a moment when we think not. A moment that we would not expect you to come. But God, that's the way you are. You always bless us unexpectedly. You saved us unexpectedly. But Lord Jesus, you're going to come. And you've warned us, you've told us that you're going to do it. And God, you've never lied to us yet. May we live our lives as such that when you come, we'll be ready. Not only ready, but waiting. And Lord, we'll go up with a shout because this is the one that we've longed to see all of our lives, the one that we owe so much for, the one that we want to praise, the one we want to embrace, the one we want to say thank you face to face, the one who gave us all so that we could have all, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.